Spurs play the Thunder tonight. Will they snap their 8-game losing streak?
You are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey guys, this is Jason David Frank, the Green Ranger, and you are listening to a Locked On Spurs with Jeff Garcia. It's morphin' time.
Welcome back to Locked On Spurs and the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia. I am with Ken's 5 San Antonio, their digital beat reporter for your silver and black. And I'm glad you are back. Hey, thanks for making Locked On Spurs your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts. Oh, the Spurs are on a losing streak. 8-gamer. Yeah, Team Tank is definitely loving that. I know our guest is loving that. We'll introduce him in a bit. But what are we talking about today? We're going to look ahead at tonight's Spurs-Thunder game. Yes, I know Spurs had the day off while the Pelicans played the the Thunder played the Pelicans the other night. Yeah, we are recording this before that game is over. So keep that in mind as we move on. And they're going to be talking about Lonnie Walker. Yeah, the former Spur. Our guest stirred the pot, no shock there, with Spurs fans asking if the Spurs did him dirty. We're going to get his reasoning why he thought that. And much, much more. That's going to bring him in. He is the infamous, the well-known, the guy who welcomes to get dragged by Spurs fans on almost a daily basis. He is Michael Jimenez with San Antonio Sports Star. Follow him on Twitter at MikeESPNSA and check out his show, Halftime with Mike. Jimenez, you must have the thickest skin in the business. The Spurs fans
come
every take you have.
So many people reached out to me today, DM'd me, instant message, called me, asking if I was okay, you know, because I've been getting dragged for a couple of days about my Lonnie Walker take. And the fact of the matter is that I have very thick skin, and it's so funny. It doesn't really bother me that people drag me on Twitter or call into my show. People called into my show to drag me as well. So, no, it's all good fun, man.
They would have called into your show to drag you more? Really?
Well, and it wasn't even about the Spurs take. It was about something else. Oh. You know, it was involving the Cowboys. And people were asking me why I chose violence that day. And they were getting all bent out of shape. And it's so funny because I went back and I listened to those two segments to see what ticked people off. I really don't know what set it off. I mean, I just brought up some points. And people don't like to hear certain things sometimes. And, you know, so I'm the lightning rod that sometimes catches it, but it was fun.
Fun, yeah. It gets heated. I see Spurs fans like coming at you, and it's not just like banter. I mean, they're just coming at you, Jimenez. So, yeah. How do you handle all that?
You know, I find it funny. I don't really take anything personally, you know. And I think it's from the fact that I think that everyone knows that I am a legit true Spurs fan. I know that sometimes people will make fun of me and call me Skip Jimenez in reference to Skip Bayless and Skip Bayless.
And you don't like that. You don't. That's the one thing you do not appreciate.
Well, it's the one that burns me a little bit. Okay, I'll admit that. It's not that I hate it. I think it's funny. Skip Bayless is not somebody that I try to emulate by any stretch of the imagination.
Sure about that?
It was somebody called in one day and said that. And I think Pledger also kind of egged people on. And because of Pledger, I got that nickname. But the fact of the matter is that it's all good fun. And people know I'm a big Spurs fan. We just all think differently about how this team should be going right now after Tim, Tony, and Monty retired. And seeing the nastiness that's going on the court right now and all the losing. You know, it's funny because someone has to be the scapegoat. Someone has to be the one that people will want to pin anger, blame, or whatever on, and I'm that guy. And I'm happy to be that guy.
You love it. You love it. You relish in it. Because you know they're going to listen to your show. That's why. At the end, the result helps you out. They're going to tune in to your show on SportsStar.
Well, it's funny because 80 to 90% of my show, none of it's controversial. It's to the point, it's to the parts of the show where I'm actually giving an opinion. And I back up my opinions with facts. And because I'm backing it up with facts, it frustrates people even more, because when this whole Lonnie Walker part two, because again, this was a column I wrote back in April that I revisited this week. People, there were half the people there were criticizing me, but the other half were coming around saying, you know what? He has some points here. There's legitimate points that he's taking. And it was weird because today people are checking on me to see if I'm okay. But honestly, 50% of the people who were on those threads were supporting me.
All right. So we'll definitely talk about that in just a few seconds. Your Lonnie Walker take. And I'm pretty sure by now everybody heard or saw your viewpoint, but we'll refresh their memory in just a few seconds. But Spurs got the Thunder tonight. He meant his 8-game losing skid. Yes, everybody. Again, we're recording this before the end of the Thunder Pelicans game, so keep that in mind. I look at this team, Jimenez, and yeah, there's Team Tank. They're loving this 8-game losses. But I mean, that whole competitive vibe, it seems to be gone for the most part in these last 8 games. Okay, maybe given the last game versus the Lakers, showed a little spite in that second half. But all in all, Jimenez, they're just getting slaughtered.
It's all on the defensive end, man. The Spurs right now are the worst in the NBA in points given up per game. Over 120 points per game. You're not going to win games that way. And it's very bizarre, because if there's one thing that head coach Greg Popovich has prided himself on throughout the 20-plus years he's been head coach of the team, it's been about defense. And it all starts and ends with defense. I mean, he would bench players if they didn't play D. And right now, to see that they're the worst defense in the NBA, it's startling. And it's sad. I know that I've been part of Team Tank, and I want the Spurs to get the best draft pick possible. But never in my wildest dreams did I think we'd have a team that was giving up over 120 points per game.
Jimenez, would you be shocked if I told you that as of this recording, when it comes to the plus-minus, the Spurs are dead last? Now, you're probably not going to be surprised about that. But what if I told you the margin? Okay, so you look at the stats as of this recording. The Orlando Magic are 29th in the NBA. Their plus minus is negative 8.4. All right, fine. That shows me they're competitive. They're staying in games. They're fighting. But, you know, more often than not, they lose. The 30th team in the plus minus category are your Silver and Black, Jimenez. And look at this jump. It goes from minus 8.4 Magic to a minus 18.8 for the Silver and Black in these last 8 games. Woo, Jimenez.
I didn't realize it was that bad, man.
It's bad.
I knew the giving up of points had been bad over the course of the past 3 or 4 weeks. And I know that the field goal shooting of our opponents has been through the roof. But I didn't realize that it was that big of a disparity in points between, you know, the good guys and the bad guys.
Yeah, yeah. And you look all up and down the 8-game losing streak and what's going on. It's about the only thing that's kind of still okay are their assists. They're not the best team in the last 8 games or just overall as they were to start the season and sharing the ball. They're down to the 8th best team in the league currently. So that's okay. It seems to be they're still trying to hang up to the bread and butter, what got them some early wins. But when you couple the decline of assists and also with the field goal percentage that's plummeting, it's in the 20s already, like mid-20s ranked, the Spurs. They're just having a bad moment right now. Would you call it a bad moment or a sign of many things to come as the season goes on?
Oh, it's a sign of many things to come. I mean, it's the fact that this is not a very good team. It's the fact that this is not a very talented team. And I think it was fool's gold earlier in the year when the Spurs got off to a 5-2
start. Well, you called it, right? Didn't you call fool's gold? I believe you were the first one to say that.
Yeah, you know, I even said that before the season started. I was like, you know, the Spurs are going to have some very winnable games early on. And it takes a while for teams to, you know, it's weird because the way the NBA season works, it's different than, say, the NFL, which has a long summer camp and it has, you know, a handful of preseason games. The NBA season starts, and within a week, they're playing preseason games. And within 2 weeks, the regular season starts. So all of these teams out there are just getting used to each other, and the Spurs kind of feasted on that. They feasted on the fact that the other teams were not ready for the start of the season. And it took a while for some teams to get going, but things kind of revert to the mean. And when the season started, you know, I told you on Locked On Spurs and also on Halftime that I thought the Spurs were going to be around 5-15 after 20 games. And people were all over me, just jumping on me going, ha ha, they're 5-2. Well, they ended up being 6-14 after 20. So at the end of the day, I was off by one game. But they're back on the pace of what we all thought. And before the season started, I said that this was a 19-win team. And more and more, we're on that pace to be in the low 20s, upper teens when it comes to wins by the end of the season. And if we're giving up 121 points, we might not even hit 19.
I know, and right? At that rate.
And some of the stats I'm looking at, think about it this way. After about 10 games this season, you had Keldon Johnson averaging, you know, 23.5 points per game. And it was like, man, is he going to be a potential all-star?
Well, his that's cooled off a lot. Yeah.
Plummeted. He's now at 20.4. Right now, by percentage points, Devin Vassell is actually the leading scorer of the Spurs right now. Mm-hmm. Also at 20.4, but, you know, probably has an extra bucket or so to pad the stat there.
And also, too, he hasn't played that many games as Keldon. I think he was
out. Yeah, three fewer games.
Yeah, three fewer games. But nevertheless, I want you to hold that thought because we're going to look at tonight's game, Spurs Thunder. I want to talk to you about KJ and Devin tonight versus the Thunder. And if you think the streak ends tonight out in OKC. Once again, we're talking with Mike Jimenez with San Antonio Sports Star. Follow him on Twitter at MikeESPNSA. Do it right now for those hot takes that he dishes out daily. But this episode of Locked On Spurs is brought to you by Sweatblock. Look, if you experience that embarrassing sweat when you go to the gym, out for a run, or you know someone who has had or can use a sweat block to lessen or practically eliminate sweating, well, sweat block is for you. We have a customer review who mentioned that they would hide from the office in the bathroom because there was sweat, but they use sweat block, and that made her life a lot better because of the product. Now, Sweatblock gives you the confidence to wear what you want without embarrassing sweat. Sweatblock wipes are featured and tested on the Rachel Ray Show by firefighters. Yeah, they've gone through the firefighter test, and they came out blazing, no pun intended. Hey, look, if you or someone you love is experiencing embarrassing sweat or odor, you want to try Sweatblock. Save 20% with promo code LOCKEDON at sweatblock.com. Also available on Amazon. Welcome back to Locked On Spurs. We're here on the Locked On NBA Network. I am joined by Mike Jimenez, and we're going to continue our chat about your San Antonio Spurs. But first, thank you for making Locked On Spurs your first listen today. Second listen, check out Locked On Sports today. Get all the biggest stories in sports available on this app, YouTube, wherever you get podcasts. So Jimenez, Thunder Spurs tonight. You know, before we get into your takes and your keys to a Spurs win, just real quick, does the streak end tonight? Does the 8 games end tonight?
This is going to be a very close game. This is going to be a game that the Spurs have a chance at winning. But it's so weird looking up at the standings and we're looking up at Oklahoma City with a better record. That is so bizarre. Mm-hmm. Is it going to end? No, this will be loss number 9, man. It's not going to end tonight.
Wow. Wow. All right, so if it's going to end, what do the Spurs have to do? And I know you're going to say, well, improve in every department. But what is at least a couple things you want to see the Spurs at least get better in tonight to at least have a chance to stop this losing streak?
Well, I mean, the head of the snake for the Spurs is Keldon Johnson. And if you take a look at his stats right now, he's very inconsistent in what he's doing on a daily basis. So the last game against the Lakers, what is he doing out there shooting 28 shots? I mean, that is Kobe Bryant-esque. That is ball hogging right there. 28 shots is what he attempted. I'm taking a look at his points that he's getting on a game-to-game basis. It's not consistent. Devin Vassell, when you take a look at Devin Vassell, what he does on a daily basis, he gets about 17 to 23 points. Right, it's 17, 21, 20, 22, 23. You know what you're going to get from Devin Vassell. Keldon Johnson, I'm not surprised if he goes out there and he gets you 28 to 32 points, but I'm also not surprised if he gets 7 or if he gets 8. So if the Spurs are going to win this game, it's going to be because Keldon Johnson has a hot night. And, you know, you take a look at whenever the Spurs do win or the hot start they had at the beginning of the season, a lot of it was because of Keldon Johnson's play. The Spurs go as Keldon goes.
Do you really believe that? Or should it be more the Spurs go as maybe Trey Jones goes or as Devin Vassell goes? That's what I'm trying to think about when I was talking because of Keldon's slump. If Keldon's not on, then you definitely have to have Vassell on. It seems to me that both the guys got to go on for the Spurs have a shot. If just one of them is off, then the other guy has to kick it up into hyperdrive.
Right. But Vassell's not that guy to go out there and score 30 points. I mean, that's just not his game. He doesn't shoot as many shots that would be needed to get that. Trey Jones, I mean, what we're talking about here is a team of inconsistent players. We don't know what we're going to get from them, and they very rarely have good games together. And that's been a problem over the course of the last 3 or 4 weeks is, you know, you'll have some nights where Vassell and Keldon are doing well, but Jakob and Trey are struggling, and then vice versa. Part of it is it's just learning how to play together. But the problem with this team is that they're not any good. I mean, Vassell's a good player, Keldon's a good player, Jakob's a good player, but everything beyond that, it's okay. It's mediocre or below. And the Spurs don't have the talent to compete day in, game out with a lot of good teams out there. It's sad to say, you know, and this is rock bottom. We have officially entered rock bottom. And that's a good thing because there's only one direction you can go in, and that's the direction of going up. But when you signal a deep rebuild, which is what Brian Wright signaled, this is what he was talking about. And I think the problem right now is that Spurs fans are finally coming around to, wow, this is what the team looks like and this is what the team is going to be, that there is no hope for this season. So what is it going to take for the Spurs to win this game against OKC? It's going to take Keldon Johnson to do well. It's going to take Trey Jones to go out there and probably get about 7 or 8 assists. It's going to take Jakob Poeltl to rebound a lot. It's going to take Jeremy Sochan to get away from the three-point line. It's going to take, go to your strength. You want to win this game, go to your strength. Don't just try to just chuck up shots. And that's everybody on this team.
For me, it starts with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. This guy, he's silver and black, and he just goes off. The Spurs got to try to contain him as best they can because, you know, Trey Jones, good as he is, you know, he just doesn't have the size or maybe the quickness to contend with him. He's a good defender, but Shai Gilgeous is on a different level, which leaves Jeremy Sochan. Wouldn't be surprised if the Spurs set Sochan on him and to try to slow him down. But for me, it starts with him. I think the Spurs really got a key on him. And after that, you got your peripheral players, you know, your Lou Dortz, you know, who tends to have good games. Remember that game-winning shot he hit against the Spurs? I think it was last season. So, again, another player that gets up for the Spurs. This OKC team, despite their record historically, Jimenez, they've been very competitive for the Spurs.
Yeah, it's a very feisty team. And keep in mind that they're improving right now without Chet Holmgren. You know, the number one draft pick from this year went number 2 overall. They got injured for the year. So it's a team that's improving. And in many ways, it's a team that we have to look at as, you know, what the Spurs could possibly be a year or two from now. But you mentioned SGA. Nobody's stopping him. He's, what, 3rd in the league in scoring right now? Like 31 points per game? Nobody is stopping him.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's
one averaging, of those I got the numbers here. I got the numbers here. Gilgeous Alexander, again, before tonight's game against the Spurs, 31 points per game average in 35 minutes per game, 4.8 rebounds, 6.2 assists, 1.7 steals, 1.3 blocks. Yeah, he's getting it done, Jimenez.
And it's a point guard or a combo guard doing that, which is absolutely remarkable. I mean, what a talented player he is. And this is that leap that he has taken that a lot of fans thought would happen last year. Don't get me wrong, he was good last year, but he has taken a tremendous leap this year. And it's going to be difficult for the Spurs to keep up in front of him, because you mentioned Trey Jones not being the size needed to do that. I think you're right. I don't know if Sohan has the speed to keep up with him, or if that, you know, makes things more difficult down low for the Spurs. But it's going to be, have to come in waves. I mean, if the Spurs need to attack him defensively, you attack him by sending one or two, you know, send a second player out there, you know, force the ball out of his hand, have other players handle the rock. And if the Spurs can do that, the Spurs can have a chance. I don't want to make it sound like the Spurs don't have a chance to win this game. I mean, this is one of the more winning games that are out there. But it's just one of those things where SGA has our number. We don't have anybody to guard him. And the Spurs are struggling to find an identity offensively.
Yeah, and the Spurs off defensively are just, as you mentioned, giving up just numbers. They're just giving up buckets lately.
These 121 points per game.
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah.
For the season.
Yeah, and I think the Spurs will be competitive. I think we saw that kind of kicking up again in that last game versus the Lakers. They really made the Lakers sweat in that late third, early fourth. But again, that talent took over for the Lakers and just washed any type of comeback for the Spurs. But I definitely want to see a more competitive spirit out of the Silver and Black tonight out in OKC. So, yeah, I'm with you, though. I think the Spurs losing streak extends to 9 after tonight. So, yeah. Hey, Team Tank's loving this. I know you're loving this, Jimenez. No more picks for Wimby and Scoot. So, yay. When we get back, we're going to ask Mike, what in the hell did he mean when he said the Spurs did Lonnie Walker dirty? All that and more in this episode of Locked On Spurs. But I want to talk to you about BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for sports betting information, stats, news, and analysis. Get all the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to basketball to soccer, esports. They got it all over at BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find that as well over at BetOnline right now. Always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Head to the website today. You got yourself a mobile device, laptop, computer, cell phone, whatever. Go there and learn about BetOnline. Why? Because that's where the game starts. And we're back with Mike Jimenez of San Antonio Sportster and his own show, Halftime with Mike Jimenez. While I'm on Twitter at MikeESPNSA. Whew. So now we come full circle. We started off this show saying how you tend to get dragged a lot by Spurs fans. And the most recent one is about Lonnie Walker. Now, you had an interesting take, and we talked about this on your show yesterday, a couple of days ago, that you think and you believe that the Spurs did Lonnie Walker dirty. What did you mean by that?
I just basically mean that the Spurs did not do anything to set him up for success. And I believe that the Spurs bailed on him just when he was showing promise on this team. I think Coach Popovich did an awful job with Lonnie Walker. Did an awful job with his confidence, did an awful job in defining a consistent role for him. I think Popovich, you know, brought this upon Lonnie Walker, not the other way around. And a lot of Spurs fans came at me and they're like, hey, Jimenez, you know, Lonnie Walker was just too inconsistent. You know, he didn't take advantage of his opportunities. And I don't buy any of that. I don't buy any of that because I believe that players need to go into certain games knowing what their role is going to be. Manu Ginobili would go into games knowing he was going to be the sixth man. Tony Parker knew that he was the point guard and he was going to get 30 minutes. Everyone knew their role. Know your role and play your role. The problem is that Lonnie Walker never had a defined role. Spurs drafted him in 2018, right? First round draft pick. And he was supposed to be the next starting shooting guard of this team. And instead, he constantly found himself inside of Greg Popovich's doghouse. and he was always benched. He was always ganked. If he did one thing wrong, he was pulled from the game. And meantime, who would they sub in for him? Marco Bellinelli, who would brick shot after shot after shot. Brent Forbes, who would do the same. And there were other veteran players out there that always got a chance to play and fail. But for some reason, Lonnie Walker was not allowed to fail. Lonnie Walker was not allowed to have a bad quarter or a bad series. And they kept yanking him out. And I predicted on San Antonio Sports Star on halftime, and I have the receipts. The receipts are a column that I wrote in April that said the second that this guy gets away from Greg Popovich, he's going to average 18 to 20 points per game. It's going to happen. And right now, he's at 17.1 points per game with the Lakers as their starting shooting guard. And now we have Yahoo Sports releasing articles and columns saying that he's worth every penny to the Los Angeles Lakers, that he is a godsend to that franchise. And I'm thinking to myself, we got nothing for him. We got nothing out of him. And it wasn't because of him. I blame Pop squarely for this. And Spurs fans come after me for this because, God forbid, I go against the in Pop we trust mindset.
I got to disagree with you, man. I got to disagree with you. Well, anyway, I don't fully disagree. You know, I mentioned this on your show, Halftime with Mikey Bennett on the Star. I get your point, and I made it very clear. I said it to all of San Antonio a couple of days ago. But I also see just different circumstances. You mentioned Marco Bellinelli. Well, Pop historically has always favored veteran players over younger players. And at that time, the Spurs were not near full tank mode yet. They were still spinning the wheels. DeMar was there. Okay, that's another guy that Lonnie Walker has to play behind. You know, Popovich still, and the team still thinking we could do this playoff. DeMar, LMA, and Bellinelli. Don't forget, he got hurt too early in his career. I believe he sat out half a season, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you throw in too that, so when they finally decide, okay, to go ahead and do the rebuild, it was towards the bubble season. That's where Pop, remember, made that announcement. We're not here to make the playoffs. We're not here to scout. We're just here for player development. You saw DeMar play late games only. Brent Forbes take a seat. And the young guys started to get going there. But I think it was just a circumstance thing because they're going into a rebuild. They did the draft. You got KJ. He's coming on. You got Devin. You know, he's starting to play. DeJounte took that tremendous leap before he got dealt. It just felt that Lonnie was just always in the wrong place at the wrong time. And now he's getting consistent minutes in LA and also playing behind or with two powerhouse players that are going to create opportunities for him to shine. And as you mentioned, he's the third best player for the scoring wise for the Lakers right now. I don't think Pop did him dirty. I just think the basketball timing universe did him dirty. How's that, Jimenez?
Yeah, no, don't buy it at all, man. Don't buy it at all. And the reason why I don't buy it at all is because I was talking about the fact that
you brought up the other day that Lonnie showed these tremendous games of 20 point plus games in a row. So, I remember that, and that's when DeMar was out with the family business or he got injured. So DeMar was out for 3-4 games, and Lonnie stepped in, took advantage of it. But that's a veteran. He comes back. Lonnie goes to the seat. Again, but that historically Popovich has done that. So I don't think it's anything against Lonnie. That's just Pop's behavior when he has veterans on the squad.
I'm taking a look here. When he finally got a defined role with the Spurs, this was in February of last year. This was when, last season rather, this was when Derek White got traded, right? He had a defined role. That defined role was the sixth man. He didn't start. He was the sixth man. So the idea of, well, he can't be on this team because Keldon's here and Devin Vassell's here and all that stuff.
Derek White was there too.
Well, but when White got traded to the Celtics, though.
So. Okay.
He had a string here in February of last season where he scored 17, 21, 17, 23, 22, 22, 30, 5, 13, 11, 20, 22, 20. Defined role. He was a sixth man. You give somebody a defined role, they know how to mentally prepare for a game. And you might be like, well, he needs to be ready when his time is called, when his number's called. No, the guy's 22 years old at the time. He needs to have a defined role. And the fact of the matter is that Pop, this was his failure. He didn't get, I mean, look at what Lonnie Walker's saying about Darvin Ham, the head coach of the Lakers right now, saying, I know that if I mess up, I'm not going to get yanked. He's been interviewed saying that he knows that he gets confidence with the fact that he knows he's not going to be pulled. Imagine going out there being 21, 22 years old and trying to prove yourself on an NBA level and know that if you make one turnover, you miss one defensive assignment, you're going to be yanked. Dude, they messed with his mind, dude. He's going out and playing with LA, and it's not so much because LeBron's there. LeBron has missed a third of the season so far. You know, same thing can be said about Anthony Davis. It is the fact that he has a defined role. He knows that when he rolled into the crypto, that he's going to go out there, he's going to play 28 to 30 minutes. He knows what his role is and what he's supposed to be doing, and now he's excelling because he knows what his job is.
Well, let's look
at the Spurs did him dirty. They did. The Spurs never gave him a job. The Spurs just put him out there whenever Pop felt like it was time for him to get 3 minutes.
Well, let's look at some numbers then. You know, in his last season with the Spurs, now mind you, we're comparing a very large sample size to a very small sample size. So keep that in mind, Jimenez. So as of this recording, through 16 Laker games, 32 minutes per game for Lonnie, 17.1 points per game, 2.3 rebounds, 1.9 assists, shooting about 48%. Last season with the Spurs, 71 games played. Again, keep that in mind. It's a very big difference in sample size. He averaged about 23 minutes a game, 12.1 points per game, had a little bit better rebounding, 2.5, better assists, 2.1, and shot the ball at 41%. Is it that dramatic? Is it that big of a leap to say that he was done dirty by Pop when the numbers are kind of close?
His shooting percentage from three is significantly higher than last year.
That's right. 31% last year and then 37% with this year. Again, but keep in mind the sample sizes are vastly different.
Right. But then again, you're trying to compare the sample size here. You're trying to compare what he did last year in totality when he was getting sporadic minutes, and he was playing behind DeJounte Murray and playing behind Derek White. What I'm trying to focus on is what did he do mid-February through early April, because that's when he had the defined role. And what he did for the Spurs last season in that 6 to 8 week stretch is exactly what he's doing now. So it wasn't a leap for me to say that he was going to average 18 to 20 points per game if he went to another team, because he had proven that he could do so when given the defined role. Now, I didn't know he'd be going someplace where he was a starter. I was hoping that he'd be a starter. But man, when the Lakers signed him, I was like, that's the perfect spot for him to be. And keep in mind, he's doing this in the largest, or one of the two largest media markets in the country. He's doing that with a rabid fan base there. And he's representing, man. He's showing up. And I'm so happy for him, because he's getting the flowers that he could have gotten here. I'm glad that Lonnie Walker is still part of the San Antonio community and his mom still lives here and he speaks highly of the organization. It just shows that he is a professional. But when it comes to how the Spurs handled him, I mean, if they coddled him the way that they do Sochan now, he probably would have blown up over here. He'd probably be 2 or 3 years ahead of where he is now, as far as production level is concerned. Sochan's allowed to fail. I know it's a rebuilding year, but he's allowed to fail. Primo was allowed to fail from time to time.
Yeah.
But when it came to Lonnie Walker, God forbid he missed an assignment. God forbid he missed a shot.
I think if he stayed with the Spurs, with the Spurs this season in this current system, I think he would be putting the same numbers we're seeing right now in the Lakers, which is good because they'll show improvement. He's improving. This is a little bit more free flow. And now, see, and that's a little different too. Circumstances. The Spurs are in a full tank mode. And Popovich is very open about letting them learn their mistakes and fall on their face. It would have been a nice what if. What if Lonnie Walker stayed in what is now labeled a true rebuild for the San Antonio Spurs? But it's definitely a debate among Spurs fans, definitely with you and this fan base when you fired that tweet off, Jimenez. Can't wait to see your next one. Oh my God, what's the next one going to be? Messi was right about stepping on the Mexican flag and Canelo is wrong.
I don't think the Spurs are trying to tank, but the organization is, not the players. Again, players don't tank, but organizations do. And it is explicitly clear what's going on with this team right now.
One of the bigger signs recently was that this team is in rebuild mode right now. You had that night where Hurdle gets out hurt. Sohan gets hurt out. The Spurs definitely losing some big man depth. And they go with Zach Collins for a little while, but not once did they play Bassey or Ding or Gorgie Dang at all when they needed size. And they didn't do it at all. I was like, okay, you're making it too obvious here, Spurs, what you're doing. Could have had Bassey out there, at least give 6 fouls to AD, or at that time, LeBron James, or somebody to slow him down. But nope, they did not do that at all. Hey, we're done talking. We want to hear from you. What do you think about tonight's game, Spurs Thunder? Who do you got? And do the Spurs nap this losing streak? And what do you stand on the Lonnie Walker debate that Jimenez fired the fan base up? Stirred that pot, didn't you, Jimenez? Do you think the Spurs did Lonnie or Popovich did Lonnie dirty? Or do you think it was just a victim of circumstance and Lonnie's just in a better situation? Let us know what you think. You can let me know on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. You can let Mike know at Mike ESPN SA. Tell us about halftime and the star, Jimenez.
Yeah, so halftime with Mike Jimenez goes from 12 to 2 on San Antonio Sports Star. We're Monday through Friday, and it's a lunchtime show. We get a lot of people call in saying that they're drivers, that they listen at the office, they listen at the shop or garage or whatever the case may be. It's a fun show. We talk a lot of Spurs, a lot of Cowboys, a lot of college football right now, UTSA. But, man, it's a fun show. Having a great time. My one-year anniversary just passed.
Congratulations.
One last thing.
Here we go.
I go into every show with a template of what I want to talk about, but never is it contrived. I never fire off a tweet or write a column thinking to myself, man, I hope that this causes a controversy.
Yeah, I don't believe
that. I'm this guy in real life.
I don't believe that.
You meet me in real life, you will see that I am the same way in person, okay? And it's just one of those things where I have strong opinions about people and things and sports takes and whatnot, and I'm not afraid to say them. And sometimes it ruffles some feathers. Sometimes.
People
don't want to hear it, but they still listen, though. They still listen, and it's a fun show, 12 to 2. We take a lot of calls. And, today someone saying that I chose violence coming out of a holiday. it's great times, man. And Jeff is forever on my show because...
Yes, I love coming on the show.
We love going back and forth about Spurs.
Yes, as we did in the Lonnie Walker.
Yeah.
My show on halftime. And it's at the star. Hey, subscribe to Locked On Spurs, wherever you get your favorite podcast, Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, the list goes on and on. Ken's 5 Plus app and much, much more. Also, forget to check out Locked On Sports Today podcast, the biggest stories of the day, instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. So for Mike Skip Bayless, Mike Jimenez, and Jeff Garcia, we're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.